This is my breakfast bowl. I've been eating this bowl or a similar one for the past 180 days and I absolutely love it. I mix a half cup of rolled oats and 2 tablespoons of chia seeds with a half cup of almond milk or coconut milk. I stir it really well and keep it in the fridge overnight so that the seeds can soak all the liquid. In the morning I add a bit more milk, mango, banana, kiwi and a handful of blueberries or strawberries and sprinkle everything with cinnamon. And it's done. It's fresh, really tasty and I can make it in so many variations. It never gets old. And this bowl is probably way over 100 grams of carbs. If you came to me a year ago and told me that this is what I should eat for breakfast as a diabetic, I would probably strongly disagree with you. Back then, my go-to breakfast was eggs with turkey ham, avocado salad and protein bread. That low-carb breakfast only had about 10 to 15 carbs. But I've made some major changes to my diet 6 weeks ago, and some very interesting things started happening. Exactly 6 months ago, I would consume no more than 50 grams of carbs per day on my ideal day. And on such day, I would need to inject 27 units of insulin. For every 2 grams of carbs, I needed 1 unit of insulin. That's a carb to insulin ratio of 2. When I look at the very same graph from last week, it shows I consumed 283 carbs per day on average, and I injected only 21 units of insulin per day. For every 13 grams of carbs, I needed 1 unit of insulin. That's a carb to insulin ratio of 13. So how is it possible that my insulin to carb ratio went from 2 to 13? How is it possible that my insulin sensitivity improved 6.5 times? Well, it's really quite simple. I changed the way I eat and I'm gonna show you what exactly I eat throughout this video. And to make it clear, I'm a type 1 diabetic. My body hasn't produced insulin for 35 years. And let me tell you a little secret. That cinnamon, which I'm adding to my breakfast bowl, didn't change a thing about that. I'm still type 1 diabetic and my body still doesn't produce insulin. Since I was diagnosed with diabetes, I was eating pretty much standard diet. I didn't really care that much about what I eat. But in 2018, I started using a continuous glucose monitor regularly and that allowed me to see what exactly my blood glucose is doing after I eat. And I realized that carbohydrates are spiking the post-meal blood sugars much more than I had thought. So what I did was completely logical to me at that time. I started eating less carbs and I immediately saw results. My HbA1c dropped down to around 6 and my blood glucose time in range went way above the recommended 70%. Everything was excellent. But as time passed, I realized I'm not able to stay consistent with low carb. After a few weeks or a couple months on a low carb diet, I would always get really tired. I got off track and I switched to eating bread, pasta and rice again. I felt like my body and my brain really like kind of needed a break after some time on a low carb diet. And about a year ago, I got to the point where I started struggling pretty bad. I went off low carb again and I found myself eating really unhealthy processed foods, including fast food, very often. And that's when I started feeling I need to change something, because I can tell you, during those low carb breaks, my blood sugars were a disaster. They were not ideal at all. So I started doing some research and I discovered 2 books that basically pulled me into this vegan experiment that I'm gonna tell you about. These books were Reversing Diabetes and Mastering Diabetes. The authors of these books claim that insulin resistance in all type 2 and type 1 diabetics can be significantly improved by following a low-fat plant-based diet, and that diabetes can be pretty much reversed in most type 2 diabetics if they get on this diet. In their books, they also bring many testimonials from both type 1 and type 2 diabetics who saw great results using this method. Weight loss, improved insulin sensitivity, more predictable blood sugars without sudden unexpected spikes. Most of the individuals who were on a low carb diet before switching to this low fat plant-based also reported significantly better energy levels. But there are also a lot of people on the internet who are saying that these vegan doctors are fake, deceiving, and should have their medical license revoked. So who should I trust? I was definitely skeptical going into this experiment, but I really wanted to give it a try. And I decided to follow the Mastering Diabetes program for 90 days. I didn't sign up for their program, I didn't pay a dime to them, and they didn't pay me for making this video. I just really wanted to try it and see what happens in my case. Now, here is what exactly you are allowed and not allowed to eat. The first group of foods are so-called green light foods, and you can eat as much of them as you want. These are fruits, starchy vegetables, legumes, intact whole grains, non-starchy vegetables, leafy greens, herbs and spices, mushrooms, things like that. The second group are so-called yellow light foods. The foods in the yellow category are, for example, avocado, nuts and seeds, olives, and similar foods. These are typically plant-based foods with high fat content. You are allowed to eat them in moderation because the fat intake should be less than 15% of calories when you use this method. And then there is the third group, which has the red light foods. And this is quite a big category, and you're actually not allowed to eat any of the red light foods, which is quite challenging and quite strict. It definitely looked very tough to me when I first saw this list, because it has pretty much everything that most people eat every day. Now let's go back in time a little bit and let me show you how exactly my blood sugars and my insulin intake looked on a low carb diet before I started experimenting. And then I will show you how it changed as I went vegan. The first graph is from my low carb period, and you see really pretty good blood sugar numbers. I was about 160 pounds at that time. I had average blood sugars of 120 milligrams per deciliter. HbA1c was 5.8, comfortably within the recommended range of less than 7 for type 1 diabetics. Time in range glucose was 95%, way above the minimum of 70%, which is recommended. I ate 52 grams of carbs per day on average, and I took 27 units of insulin per day on average. That's a carb to insulin ratio of only 2. And during this time, I was clearly getting most of my calories from fat because I was eating extremely low carb. And so you need to get the calories from somewhere. I got most of them from fat. But as I said before, I was not able to fully commit to it for an extended period of time. Now, here is a second graph. This one is from the last 2 weeks before I went vegan. This is the time when I was eating what many call a standard American diet, a lot of junk food. This was one of my breaks from the low carb diet. And you see the numbers are notably worse. Not terrible, but worse compared to low carb. I gained a little bit of weight. My average blood sugar went up to 130 milligrams per deciliter. My HbA1c went up to 6.1. Time in range blood glucose went down to 85%, which for my standards is not good, although my doctor would tell me this is still fine. And at that time, I'm eating 208 grams of carbohydrates. But a lot of processed food is involved here, just to make it clear. And I'm injecting 41.2 units of insulin. That's a carb to insulin ratio of about 5. And here is a third graph. This one is 2 weeks into whole food plant-based low-fat challenge. This is the time when I was eating vegan. Let's take a look. I dropped some weight. I went down to 156 pounds. My average blood sugar went down to 115 milligrams per deciliter. My HbA1c went also down to 5.6, and this is the estimated HbA1c. My time in range blood sugar was 93%, way above, again, the 70%, which is the minimum recommended. And I ate 240 grams of carbs per day and injected only 22 units of insulin per day. So you see, I increased the amount of carbs I was eating, but the insulin I was taking went actually down a lot. That's a carb to insulin ratio of 11 that I had during these 2 weeks when I started the vegan diet. So in 2 weeks, I went from carb to insulin ratio of 5 to carb to insulin ratio of 11. That's a 2-fold improvement in insulin sensitivity and a 5-fold improvement in insulin sensitivity when we compare this to the low carb period. Now, I have to admit that I quite diligently followed the program for the first 3 months. But the list I gave you of the green light, yellow light, and red light foods are really quite challenging. And so I decided to make some modifications after 90 days. First, I started eating more of the yellow light foods. I basically started eating as much nuts and seeds and as much avocado as I want. I don't really eat these in moderation anymore. Other things I added back are some of the red light foods even. I will eat fish or seafood or egg here and there. Probably once in 3 days, I eat one of those. I definitely don't overdo it, but I like these things and I don't think it's too bad when I keep them in my diet. I didn't see any negative impact of adding this back in moderation. These don't really take me off track. But what I'm avoiding completely are most of the processed foods, except for some plant-based milk, a little bit of olive oil, mustard, and hot sauce here and there. Other than that, I really don't touch any processed foods, even those that are in the yellow light category. Now, here is a quick summary of what I eat in a day. And right after that, I will show you how my numbers look 180 days after starting this experiment. For breakfast, the overnight oats fruit bowl is my absolute favorite. I eat this literally every day, and I always look forward to it. There are so many possible fruits and spices, so many combinations, and I never run out of new ideas how to make a fruit bowl. Here are some fruits and spices that I really used most often. By the way, I will put a link down below for you with links to complete recipes for the meals I'm showing today. For lunch, my go-to option is vegan chili. Onion, carrot, garlic, paprika, cumin, red peppers, tomatoes, black beans, chickpeas, fresh cilantro. Super easy to make, no processed foods, and this meal has super low glycemic index. So although it has a lot of carbs, it also is loaded with fiber, and any blood sugar spike from this will be very gentle. And here is a tip for dinner. Cooked quinoa mixed with black beans, sweet corn, chopped tomatoes, peppers and onion, some avocado or olives, fresh cilantro again, and some lime juice and salt to season it. Again, super easy, no processed foods. This salad tastes delicious. Here is another tip, and this one can be a snack, a breakfast, or even a dessert. This one works for all three of these meals. Soak chia seeds in almond milk for a couple hours or overnight. Add mashed banana to make it sweeter, and any low GI fruits like raspberries, blackberries, blueberries to make it more colorful. And again, super, super easy, so good, and blood sugar friendly, although it has carbs. Again, there is a link down below for you to all these recipes. Eating these kind of meals for 180 days was not really difficult at all. I actually enjoyed it very much. And I lost quite a bit of weight, and I'm gonna show you all my numbers after those 180 days, all my blood sugars, all my insulin intake, right here in a second. But before that, let me tell you, I actually enjoyed being vegan. Although technically I'm not a vegan anymore because I added back that fish and eggs, which I really like from time to time, I really enjoyed it. And I will be honest here, I think eating like this is just more sustainable, not only for me and for my health, but for the whole planet, obviously. And I just find out I don't need to kill that many animals just to fill up my plate. That's just my view. I don't want to get into this vegan propaganda here. I have no interest in doing that. I also understand people who like to eat meat and who want to keep it that way. And quite honestly, I enjoy reading different kind of comments from people with different food preferences. And I enjoyed even those comments where people are telling me that I really need to eat those eggs and the steak because they have the saturated fat and I can't live without the saturated fat. But guys, take it easy. This is just a YouTube video. I'm not saying everyone should eat like me. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a dietitian. I'm just sharing my story. I'm just sharing my experience. And I'm sharing how I ate for the last 6 months. You can eat however you want. So here are my numbers 180 days after I started this experiment. My weight is all the way down to 143 pounds, 18 pounds less than 6 months ago. Average blood sugar of 124 milligrams per deciliter. HbA1c down to 5.9, perfectly in range with any diabetes association recommendations, as well as time in range of 95%, which is actually way above the recommended minimal time in range of 70%. Right now, I eat 320 grams of carbs per day on average, and I only take 21 units of insulin. So the carb to insulin ratio went up again all the way to 15. Now let's compare that to the low carb period, just to see how much it's different. You see, the numbers are almost identical, except for my weight that went down a bit, and except for the carb to insulin ratio, which improved 7.5 times. So when you calculate this, I'm actually taking 90% less insulin for an average carbohydrate that I put on my plate. That's unbelievable. Now, when you go from a standard American diet to a diet that I just described, the way I eat, you will probably see very notable spikes, especially after you eat high glycemic index foods like fruits. That quick spike might be followed by a quick crash in your blood sugar levels. But this got better over time, at least for me. The longer I ate like this, the less of a blood sugar spike I saw. If your body reacts the same way that my body did, the spikes will become less dramatic. If you are insulin dependent, if you are a type 1 diabetic like me, what you can do to avoid the spikes is pre-bolus. That works pretty well for me, as well as combining those high glycemic index foods with low glycemic index foods, so that my blood sugar doesn't really spike that much, especially at the beginning of the transition. Another thing I saw at the beginning of the transition was that my blood sugar was really crashing down really fast 2 or 3 hours after I ate and after I took my bolus. My insulin sensitivity improved very fast and quite dramatically. I went from a basal insulin dose of 22 units on average per day all the way to 12. So I reduced my basal insulin by approximately a half. And it was not exactly a smooth landing. Although I kept reducing the basal insulin every day by 1 or 2 units, I still saw a lot of low blood sugar events as I was transitioning. My blood sugars just kept going low, and I had to eat quite a lot of fruit to keep them in the ideal range and not get too low 2 or 3 hours after my meals. In terms of bolus, aka the insulin I take before I eat, just because my insulin to carb ratio improved so much, for the same amount of carbs, I'm not taking much lower bolus dose. So I bolus much less before my meals. And it was really interesting to watch how fast my body reacted to that change. How much the insulin sensitivity improved when I stopped eating processed foods and animal products. We are told by many experts that carbs are the enemy. And if you asked me 2-3 years ago, I would probably agree with that statement. But I just proved to myself by this 6-month experiment that it's not quite like that. With my current meal plan, I eat more than 300 grams of carbs per day, and I know people who eat double that and still need to take less insulin than they had to take during the times when they were eating 50 grams or 30 grams of carbs per day. And I feel really good. I'm less tired. I lost some weight. I have a lot of energy. I can't complain. By the way, last week I had the honor and I was invited to the Diabetes Connection podcast hosted by the one and only Stacy Sims. We had a great time and Stacy allowed me to share my full diabetes story from the time when I was diagnosed. And if you want, you can watch that full interview on my Patreon, along with some other bonus content. Link is down below. The thing is, there are many approaches how you can master your diabetes, and eating the low-fat, whole foods, plant-based diet is not the only one. I ended up making some slight modifications to it. And for you, it might be a perfect tool to improve your insulin sensitivity and blood sugar control. But you might also want or need to follow a completely different meal plan, which works better for you and your needs. And that's okay, everyone is different. But there are foods that many diabetics often eat or are being recommended that I think are harmful, especially in excessive quantities, and I would stay away from these. I talk about 10 most harmful foods that many diabetics keep eating in this video. So click it and watch it next. I will see you there. Ciao.